Hello, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. As a mom and a parent walking into an IEP meeting, you really are leading with that fear and love. And imagine that you're walking into this room where you have professionals at the table. It's a boardroom, notebooks open, they're chit-chatting about your kiddo, their strengths, their challenges, educational goals, and you are that expert as the parent. But yet it feels like they have the rule book, they know the rules, and you're just trying to race to catch up to this game. I've spent 20 years working in special education as an educator, a strategist, an advocate. I've sat at this very table many times, both as a parent and a professional. I do understand that feeling. And so today I'm here to guide you through the IEP review process. I have my course, Cracking the Code, and teaching you how to get an IEP. But really talking about today, that IEP process, not just the steps, but the mindset, the strategies, the tools you need to walk into that meeting to feel empowered, to feel prepared. So let's start with why this process matters so much. The IEP, the Individualized Education Plan or Program, is your kiddo's roadmap to success. It's going to lay out their strengths, areas of needs, accommodations, modifications, and measurable goals. But here's the thinking. Kids grow, challenges evolve, and the learning environment changes. So an IEP written a year ago, even 6 months ago, it's not going to necessarily reflect who your kiddo is today, which is great, right? We want them to grow. We want them to change. We want us to be able to address what is happening and to figure out how to problem solve and better support our kiddo. So this is why the IEP review process even exists. So by law, schools must review the IEP annually, but parents can request a review at any time if there is a concern. So it's not just that legal formality, it is a recalibration of your kiddo's support system. So think about it, let's get together, let's recalibrate, let's convene, let's see what's happening, bring in some data so that we can really ensure that the support that is in place for your kiddo within their school day is what aligns with their needs. So preparation is going to be the foundation of this productive IEP. I want you to kind of start with a few tasks when you're thinking about the IEP review process. Request documents early. Ask for a copy of your kiddo's IEP, progress reports, any recent evaluation, at least 1 week before a meeting. Schools are supposed to give that information to you. In the event they don't, I want you to request it. This is going to give you an opportunity as a parent to take pause, review everything, write your questions down, and make sure that you're understanding all of the legal documents that are in front of you. Organize your notes. Create a running list of things that you have observed in the home, homework time, nap time, organization, any of those things, bedtime, transitions, both strengths and challenges, navigating the community, all of those things. So think about your observation. You can have that on your smartphone as you're just kind of going through life and having that organized in a way that you can pull from it to be effective in your conversation. So you may, from an academic standpoint, you may note that your kiddo is reading longer texts at home, but still struggles with comprehension in class. I think that's very important to have a conversation about with the IEP team. Then I want you to review past goals. Look at last year's goals. Were they achieved? If not, why? Is it a well-written goal? Do we need to break down that goal further? Did the school collect data on the progress? You can even ask for the raw data sheets so that you can try to better understand where that growth is coming from. And if it's not equally as important, why are we not growing? And what do we need to help support that? No one should never, ever navigate that IEP process alone. If possible, bring someone to the meeting, whether it's your nana, your auntie, your partner, your neighbor, whomever it may be, just to have somebody next to you. So an advocate, they can provide that legal or procedural expertise, but a support person, this can be that friend or family member, right? They're going to help you take notes. They're going to offer emotional support because it is scary. It's overwhelming. And it's nice just to have a third party that maybe is not as emotionally connected so that you have a conversation of being able to hear what is said and then being able to reflect back on that. The day of the meeting possibly can feel overwhelming, but try to stay in control, right? So start with strengths. Kick off the meeting by sharing something positive about your kiddo. My kiddo became really curious about a science experiment at home. This way, you're starting on a positive note, kind of setting that tone for collaboration. Always ask for data at the meeting, but I prefer to ask for it ahead of time so that you really can make that informed decision to help be that team member. Don't ask for their word for it. Ask for specific data points that are going to back up claims. So, for example, can you show me how her reading fluency has improved based on the goal that we set last year? And this should also be as part of your quarterly progress. You should have some sort of data in the progress note so that you can really see and track the trajectory, or if it's not, if it's trending backwards, so that you have that information. If you went into a business meeting for your workplace, it is important to have all of that information so that you can make informed decisions. So request clarity. So if a goal sounds vague, like for example, improving social skills, ask for specifics. Make sure your goals are aligned with SMART goals, that they are specific, they are measurable, they are achievable, relevant, and time-bound. You should be able to sit down with the goals and make sure you see all of that information in there. And if it is too big of a goal to accomplish in a one-year time frame, let's dial it back and adjust. So asking for clarity, requesting clarity to make sure what we're putting down as something that we're working towards with a student aligns with that specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. After the meeting, what I want you to do is review the plan that you guys discussed. So at home, I want you kind of to take a second to reflect over it, whether that means taking a walk so you can process everything, taking a drive, having that conversation with the person that came with you. Go over everything, go over the goals, the services, and thinking it through to make sure that it makes sense and aligns with your child. Write a summary email. Now, the school is going to come back with what we call a prior written notice, which is a confusing term. It means that they are going to capture on one sheet. It's a legal document. It is part of the Individuals with Disabilities Act, Education Act, and that it is going to take a snapshot of what was discussed during the meeting, what was proposed, what was denied, why this all took place. I want you to go ahead and write that summary email while it's fresh in your mind. So you're going to send a follow-up summarizing your understanding of what took place and the next steps. So that's going to also create a paper trail and ensure that everyone's on the same page. So when you receive that final IEP after the meeting took place, which you should, again, that's part of our law, and you receive the prior written notice, which should also come at the same time as your final copy of the IEP, those two documents should match what took place and your follow-up. That way, if something is not aligning, you then have something to stand on and you can be able to say, all right, well, this is what was said. I don't see this in the prior written notice. I need to see this in writing. Also, understanding your rights under IDEA. You have the right for a free and appropriate education. Your kiddo does. So it ensures that your kiddo has access to services tailored to their unique needs, again, at no cost to you. Understand your timeline. So schools need to adhere to those specific timelines for evaluations, reviews, implementing that IEP. If these timelines aren't met, you can hold the school accountable. So at the beginning of each IEP meeting, you should receive a copy of your parental right. If you don't, ask the school for it. Of course, you can also Google what your parental rights are, but they are required to give this information to you, whether they send it home with the draft IEP or they provide it to you at the meeting so that you have this information as a parent so you can be empowered. There's also the power of consent. You must provide written consent as a parent for any major changes that happen to that IEP or the child's placement. So if you disagree, you have follow-up measures. I've done solos on these as well, whether it's mediation or due process, But before anything, whether it's an evaluation, we're changing goals, we're changing services, we're changing placement, you as the parent need to provide that written consent because the student is a minor, they are your child, you need to be able to provide that. I get a question a lot about what happens when you're transitioning, whether it's from school building or state to state. Again, IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, is a federal law, so it covers all 50 states. So when moving to a new school or even across state lines, the IEP process can feel like you're starting over, but it doesn't need to, right? So there will be a meeting to discuss the IEP, what works, what doesn't. And if you're moving from state to state, you'll often have to put it into that state's IEP paperwork, so to say. But IDEA requires that your kiddo's new school provides comparable services until they adopt or revise the IEP. So you come in with that IEP, the school has to provide comparable services to what is written on the current IEP. They need to honor that until they are able to either adopt or revise the IEP that was come in with. I want you to think about preparing that parental input statement. We talk about this, that one-page document that's going to summarize your kiddo's strengths, challenges, and what works best. This is going to help that incoming school understand your kiddo and not have to reinvent the wheel. Request that meeting early. So if you know you're moving, if you're transitioning, say, from elementary school to middle school and you're in the same district, typically in the spring or in the summer, there's going to be some sort of articulation meeting, transition meeting, so that you get an opportunity to meet with the new school. If you are changing states, I recommend scheduling a meeting as soon as possible with that new school's IEP team, so that you can bring all of your relevant documentation, including any past IEPs and evaluations. Again, bonus points if they are organized in a manner that is easy for that new individual, new team to understand who your kiddo is. Let's also think about for a second behavioral challenges. So that can really often feel like a barrier to progress. But there's also an opportunity to better understanding your kiddo's needs and really trying to understand, where is this behavior coming from? Why is it taking place? Is it, you know, a sensory need? It is, you know, what is happening with the behavior so that we can better understand the kiddo? You can request what would they call a functional behavioral assessment. This evaluation identifies the root cause of behavior and helps inform strategies to address them. And then a collaboration on a behavior intervention plan. So working with the team to create positive interventions, whether it's sensory breaks or structured routines that are going to better support your student to be successful in the classroom. And then let's talk about some tools, right? So these strategies are going to help become more effective in your advocacy. So again, documenting everything, whether you're creating a paper binder or a digital folder for all your IEP related materials. That way it's easy to access that information. Use sections for meeting notes, progress reports, correspondence, ensuring that you have an updated copy of the IEP, the prior written notice, any kind of scores that have taken place so that you have all this information at your fingertips, whether you again are transitioning to a new school or feeling like you need to have an IEP meeting reconvened during a school year to better address your kiddo's needs. I want you to use data anytime you advocate. So if your kiddo is struggling with reading, track how many words they can read per minute at home. Share this data during the meeting. This is going to help create a more fuller picture. If transitions are an area of concern, write down the data. Where does it take place? How does it take place? What does it look like? When does it occur? If you're noting struggles with homework, time of day, medication, all of those things are going to come into play to really have a healthy conversation at the IEP table. And then really practice that big picture, little picture strategy. So big picture, thinking about long-term goals like developing independence in math, little picture, breaking down into smaller measurable steps like mastering multiplication tables. Maybe it's just the threes, maybe it's just the fives. So really thinking about big picture, where do we want to go? Little picture, how are we going to get there? Stay calm. It is hard sometimes, right? But assertive. So use your tone matters. Phrases like, how can we collaborate on this? Instead of why isn't this being done? really is going to change the perspective and the tone of that meeting. So the IEP review process isn't about meetings and paperwork. Of course, that does have to be part of that. But I really want you to think about creating an educational experience where your kiddo can thrive. You are your greatest kid's advocate, not because you have all the answers, but because you're committed to finding them. You are the one that is going to be going the consistent member at that IEP table. You're transitioning with your kid year to year, school building to school building, wherever it may be. And so you are that strongest advocate for your kiddo and helping to find ways to better support your child, kind of outside of the box, easy to implement, and easy meaning that we can come together collaboratively and think about what are some ways to build the capacity of our kiddo. You as a parent, you're going to bring that heart and inside that no one else can. And with the tools and strategies that we've kind of talked about today, you're going to walk into that next IEP meeting. You're going to feel confident. You're going to be ready to lead. You're going to feel prepared. Remember this as we are closing out. You've got this. Your child has you, and you're the most powerful ally. Thanks again for joining me on the Special Ed Strategist podcast. Again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor. I am here to help you navigate those IEP questions and landscapes. Until later, bye for now.